Is there anything to be learned from the British system, where things seem to be moved with great dispatch and with where authority looks down, it seems, on almost all controversy with great rigidity and power?
I think there's something to be learned from that. Candidly, I said, and still believe, there's a great deal to be learned from what was then the Common Pleas Court trial system, mm-hmm. where a day certain was given, and I mentioned the assignment clerks in the room full of people, and he would call out a case and send it to Judge Kenny, call out a case and send it to Judge Dingaman, and when your case was called, you went. And there was no discovery, there were no interrogatories, there was no pretrial preparation. The day you were served with the summons, you were told your day to come to court. Mm-hmm. It was like going to traffic court. Mm-hmm. And you could do that with little cases, you know. And that amuses me, because if the process of pretrial is so productive of a better quality of justice, by what right does society reserve a better quality of justice for larger cases? I mean, to a poor man whose case is $100, isn't he entitled to just a fair hearing and so on? If it's unfair to have a trial without pretrial discovery, then why is this unfairness visited only upon the poor people?
Yeah. Did you happen to catch in the Bar Journal about 2-3 years ago Bill Peterson's article that was not displayed well? It was way in the back of the magazine. It originally had been titled something about judicial pollution, the idea being that trying to transfer the idea of environmental pollution. Mm-hmm. There's so much bric-a-brac and baloney and posturing and delay that is cynical or contrived that all the numbers become fallacy. You talk about numbers. You don't talk about the substance. And he said there are cases that ought to be tried and tried promptly. And there's a lot of stuff that by judge-made law and for other reasons is just jamming up the system.
And well, I agree with him. And of course, Bill Peterson's a very able man and a very perceptive man. And I think and he's certainly been in the trenches trying lawsuits up in Cadillac for a long, long time.
I would digress.
I would probably give it a lot of credibility. Okay. Anyway, we're sort of talking about my years on the circuit bench. Mm-hmm. There came a time in 1964, I ran for election, and I think I told you led the ticket in being elected to the circuit bench. Then in 1965, my daughter Ellen was born, mm-hmm. and on 1966. Governor Romney called me when I was over at my cottage, my mother's cottage, and asked me, Bob Danoff called on his behalf and asked me to come and visit the governor at his home, and he asked me if I would run for the Supreme Court, accept the nomination of the Republican Party, which was about to be bestowed on somebody within about 48 hours of that moment. And
you actually did go to Romney's home?
I went to Romney's home. And
over in...
In Bloomfield Hills, right there near Long Lake and Woodward. And he said, you know, you can't win, probably. But he said, 2 years from now, when Ted Suris runs, you can have the nomination. You know, you do your duty now, you can have the nomination. And so I said, fine, Governor, whatever you want. You put me on the circuit court. I'm happy to do whatever you feel is a way for me to serve the people. And so I undertook the assignment.
Now that was really double time, wasn't it? That you were, the convention was going to be on a Saturday, and this was like Thursday night.
Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah.
And up until that time, had there been anybody that was up front and center for the nomination?
There were a few people poking around trying to get the nomination. I think one of them was John O'Hara. Junior, the old John P. O'Hara, who used to be Recorder's Court Judge, and I think John Junior was looking for the nomination as well. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they asked me to run, and I proceeded to jump in.
That would have been what, in August?
That was in August. And I was just looking to see. I don't see it. I thought maybe I had. A copy of my my talk when I accepted the nomination. But I do remember that I paraphrased Fiorello LaGuardia's famous comment when he said, "My only qualification for public office is my monumental ingratitude." And I said, paraphrasing that, I said, "I want you, all of you, to know," and I'm addressing 2,000 Republicans at the convention, "that my only qualification for your partisan nomination to the Michigan Supreme Court is my monumental nonpartisanship." And I told them then I thought that the parties shouldn't be nominating candidates for the Supreme Court, but I would take the nomination and run on that standard. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because I was just reviewing, we were talking about getting ready for today's discussion.
Did you get a guarantee of so much money to finance your campaign?
No, there's no guarantee of so much money. They said they'd help me. And before it was over, I guess I did get about $60,000. I also tried to raise some money myself. I had conducted a series of luncheons in Detroit, and I figured if I could succeed well enough at that, I would make enough money to get out of town, and maybe that would have made a lot of people happy, but.